Whenever you're making a big announcement, what's blaring in the back of my mind is the 1990s Chicago Bulls starting lineup. And so we're going there today, church family. At the end of your pews is a lineup of all of our paid church staff. That's for you to take home, to pray for your church staff, the paid church staff, and to just be aware of putting some faces, some names, and some job descriptions to them. We're going to give a follow-up opportunity, 1990s Bulls theme music with a little intro for each of them in order of those who've been here the longest to the new rookies on staff beginning this Sunday. And so are you ready for it, church family? All things awkward to begin 2025. Here it goes. Get hyped, okay? Get hyped. Because what we have here, this lady knows all your dirt because she cleans up after you and your little squirt. Weekly, she cleans this place cleaner than the Smithsonian. She's Nancy Ross, the church custodian! She fields your calls, calendars, and all the church happenings. She's been doing this for 24 years and counting. She's the office lady everyone should know. It's Luann, let it not rain but snow! This lady knows how to play them pipes. She takes up from the gravy a rose to deafening heights. She sits behind the organ and plays it better than Michael Jordan. It's Donnie, pick them pipes, Pickering! Pastor's wife for life is this staff member's permanent position. But as it relates to church life, it's all things children. From wee worship to graduation, this one deserves a standing ovation. It's Julie, five times the baby bump, jump! We pulled her out of retirement because we needed this lady's enlightenment. She's detailed and diligent and makes sure the church bills are met. It's our church treasurer, count 'em, Linda Netter. Brad is not the only of the rookies. This one plays with Binkies and Nookies. On Sundays, you can find her in the nursery, keeping them away from harmful mercury. It's Kayla, babies play with ya, Jones. And last but not least, this is the man that helps this community feast. He's the new pastor of community outreach, and you're going to love his 40 to 50 minute speech. Yeah, I've worked with him the past 6 years. I can say nothing but cheers. He comes with wife and three kids. Get ready to pop open them lids. It's the rad. We're so glad to have Pastor Brad. Give it up one last time for your all-star first church starting lineup. Can we make it any more awkward this Sunday, church? We're going to try, huh? We're going to try. Give it up one last time for your church staff. Thank you for playing along, staff. Well done. You've gone well and above your church pay in that way. At this time, kids, we're about to have some more fun, so get out of here, okay? We're going to dismiss our kids for Wiggly worship. That would be any child ages 0 through 6th grade. Reminder for the 10:30 service. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, I want to invite you to take your Bible or the Pew Bible and open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And as you're opening up there, we're going to invite Brad and Carly to come over. We're going to grab a chair together. Brad and Carly, I'll let you take that over if that's okay. And we're going to have a little dialogue with the new rookies on church staff following opening the book together, because this book is our marching orders. Whether a staff or not, this is God's word to God's people in any day and age. And so we want to open up there to get our marching orders at these first steps together with the Andrus family. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, once someone gets there, if you could shout out that page number so that we could all get there, that would be helpful. 1684, thank you. 1684, you can find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Picking up in verse 1, God's word says this. Now, brothers and sisters, he was writing to a church, a community of faith, but faith that's family, faith that's even deeper than blood, faith that leads to a forever family. Brothers and sisters is the way Paul addresses this faith community in Thessalonica. He says, dear brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we may be awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Not giving much commentary on those verses, but just to simply say that's the story we're caught up in. That there's a reality of a day coming, a day of reckoning, a day of judgment, a day of Jesus' return that verse 1 through 10 talks about. And we're to be ready for that day. But on that day, to be aware that as Jesus returns, there's friends or foes, and we're invited into friendship with Jesus. The Lord of all the universe is reaching out in relationship to each and every one of you. He came for you, and your debt he paid in full. Like, there needs to be nothing that comes between you and him unless you turn your back on him and walk the other way. That's the invitation. That's the story that we are invited into that verse 1 through 10 reminds us. God offers salvation, rescue, through God's son Jesus and what he's done for you. And that gives us hope for an eternal day. Meaning for this day and a future day that he's invited us into. That's our story. So what does that mean about how we should live as it relates to church family and even church staff together? Let's keep reading. Verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Living in light of that day should help us and encourage us and lead us to build one another up, leading to that eternal day. And Paul writes to this church in Thessalonica, you have been doing it, keep doing it. He doesn't write that to every church. Like some churches, he rebukes and reprehends rather harshly. But this church in Thessalonica, he says, you've been encouraging one another, you've been building one another up, you've been getting ready and outfitted for that day, keep doing that. Keep up the good work. He says that to that church. And then it relates even deeper into how we relate to church staff. Verse 12, we ask you, brothers and sisters, acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work, and live in peace with each other. I've never preached on this passage, just because I think it's really awkward to preach on, you know, of how we relate to church staff or nothing like that. But I want to, with this occasion in mind, with a new staff and staff family on the staff. Did you hear how we relate as a church family together, as we're all en route to this eternal adventure together, as we're all to grow up in the faith and what Jesus is doing in this community together? We're to be respectful of the church staff, holding them in highest regard and love because of their work. It matters what God is doing through those 9 individuals on those worksheets. I might need to add, too, Kathy is not with us today. She's out of town, out of state in Maryland for a side job that she has, but she would be an additional face with that name that you see on that worksheet that was provided for you. We all need to be in prayer of our staff and respectful of our staff and working together with this greater mission that God is doing as a church family together, holding them in highest regard and love because of their work. And one of the ways we do that, live in peace with each other. How we relate to one another helps us how we relate across staff and all of that. This is the mission. This is what has been instructed to the church for 2,000 years on the how we're to do this thing called church together, including staff and mission and ministry. And the true seeker of the church is always bigger than just those faces on that worksheet, right? Church is church life together, a family of faith together, ministry together. It matters very much that we're in this together to make that ripple effect of the difference Jesus makes, not just felt on 1 hour one day of the week, but a whole way of life that leads to one who's the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus himself. That's what we venture even deeper into as we bring Pastor Brad and Carly and their family on staff. And so we want to make this opportunity, that's the shortest sermon you will get around here, but we want to make this opportunity to get to know the new pastor and his family a little bit better. Brad and I, a couple weeks before all of this, we said, how should we go about introducing Brad and Carly and family to the congregation? We'd hashed down a couple of questions that we're breaking into three different rounds to ask. Round one has to do with fun. Round two has to do with faith. Round three has to do with family. And then following those three rounds, if there's time provided, you get to lob some questions their directions that aren't on this worksheet. They know some of what's coming at them on this worksheet. They don't know what's coming at them from there. But part of Pastor Brad and Carly, they are open, they are transparent, they are honest people. One of the traits that we like about the both of them and their family. And so if you've got some questions that you'd like to ask to get to know the both of them better, that they would entertain those questions following all this. So take the mic, take the hot seat. You ready to begin? Three different rounds, fun, faith, and family. Here we go with Brad and Carly. Round one, fun. Buckeyes or go blue?
Who cares?
Brad and Carly are very musically wired. I like more the realm of sports. I'm going to help Brad out with this one because he's going to help me all things music. He meant by that answer, Buckeyes. Did you check him out? Yeah. Okay. Brad and Carly, favorite season, winter, summer, spring, or fall?
I think we both agree that it's summer. We love all the options of the things that we can do, even more so in Ohio in the summer than in the winter. Amusement parks, water parks, and I love that the kids are out of school. So summer, definitely.
Summer lasts all of 4 weeks in Ohio, right? Beautiful time, beautiful. Brad and Carly, do you have a favorite food?
You can go first. Oh, yeah, pizza.
It's part Ninja Turtle.
Definitely. No sardines on it, though.
And I would say if ice cream counts as a food, then I would say ice cream. And if that's not allowed, I see some clapping back there. That's my girl right there. If not ice cream, then I would say salmon. And I'm the only one in the house who likes it, so I don't get it often. So salmon.
Ice cream and salmon together? Maybe not. Maybe not. Are we readers? Do we have a favorite book?
Yes. Yeah, so one of my favorite books is a book that's called How to Read a Book. Yes, you heard that right. It's written by a guy named Mortimer J. Adler. It was really the first book that I read that ignited my passion and love for reading in general. So most of you probably would not like that book unless you're a nerd like me. But one of the more recent books I've read that I really enjoy is called Becoming Whole, Why the Opposite of Poverty is Not the American Dream. And that's written by a Brian Fickert. And that's one of my most recent reads, one of my favorite ones that stand out.
I'm not a big reader, so I usually only read, like, if forced. But other than that, I've read one book several times, so I'll share what it is. The book is called Redeeming Love, and it is mostly a fictional book, but it does pull things, like, from the book of Hosea in the Bible. So that's probably my favorite book, and I've read it probably, like, three or four times, so it must be pretty good.
What about favorite movie? Does it have a favorite movie?
For me, I would say that, well, we are definitely Lord of the Rings fans and Star Wars fans, so both of those kind of go together in my favorites, but yours is different.
Yeah, Top Gun Maverick.
If you notice in a little Christmas picture, they've got some Star Wars memorabilia on, showing some of that favorite movie aspect. What about a favorite song or band? Musical family, do we have a favorite song or a band that you like the best?
Yeah, I got a lot of favorite songs, so we won't go through the list. But Benjamin William Hastings, probably my favorite artist at the moment, and Brandon Lake would be a second.
Yeah, definitely Brandon Lake is one of my favorites, but my favorite song right now is Holy Forever, and I like when I like that version best when Bethel Worship and CeCe Winans sing it together. It's my favorite all the way.
Good tunes, yep. Last question in the fun round. If you had 24 hours of a free day to do whatever you so choose, what are you choosing to do and why?
So everything is so complex. It depends on the type of day. Because if it's today, we're not going to the beach. We're not going to the water park, right? So depends on the day. But if we're going to assume a perfect day, it's going to be 85 degrees, sunny outside, at the pool, community pool, at the water park, something along that line. Otherwise, we enjoy board games. And about once or twice a year, apparently, we go through like movie marathons and we'll watch all 27 Avengers movies in a month and a half. It's ridiculous, but it's fun.
Good stuff. Good stuff. That's the fun round. Moving on to the faith round. A little bit longer of answers here. When did Jesus become real to you? What's kind of your faith story of coming to Christianity for the both of you?
So I grew up in church, was there from the time I was a little baby. My family took me to church every week, and I was there multiple times throughout the week. But I guess I would say when Jesus really became real to me was during a time that just over a course of a few years, a lot of things happened. Unfortunately, my parents got divorced, and then my sister passed away a couple years later. And so just through those really hard times, that's when the Lord really became real to me. He was a strength for me, and also the church body that I was involved with then just really gathered around and really just walked with our family through that hard time. So I would say then, but then also that's when he became really real. But then I can remember too, when I was 18 years old, I was having a conversation who was our music pastor and young adult leader at the time. Me and Brad were really good friends with him and his wife, and he had said, you know, when I was 18 or 19 years old, he had said, you know, now is the time when this relationship with the Lord is all on you. Like, it's no longer that I'm going to church with my family, which I still live with my family, but it has to be on me to choose the relationship with Jesus and continue to grow in that. So that's when I would say those took place.
I, on the other hand, did not grow up in church, so going to church as a kid was not an experience that I had for the most part. Went to a friend's youth group in high school. I was there for about, 2 months, and was praying for a girlfriend, and I got a girlfriend, and then youth group was no longer a part of my life, so it's kind of how it was in high school, and so went off after that. After high school, I participated in something called Drum Corps. Really simply, it's kind of like professional marching band, so I played the quads, which are like the six drums on the one harness, and I was touring the States pretty much every summer and traveling pretty much every weekend doing that, and then I got involved in Amway. So if you're familiar with Amway, just go ahead and show me. If you're above 25, you probably are familiar with Amway. Only three of us. We don't know what Amway is in this room. Oh, my goodness. A pyramid scheme, I wouldn't articulate it that way. Does that term ring a bell? Five of us. We're getting closer. All right. Anyway, so I was involved with Amway and got involved with a business group in Amway and heard the story of the prodigal son. And Jesus just captured my heart in that moment, and came home to the Father, and that was my conversion or regeneration or new birth experience. And from that point forward, life was different. I lived in Columbus. I moved back home about 2.5 weeks later, and changed really the trajectory of my life. But that's kind of my faith story. So Jesus became real 2007. In a hotel in Lexington, Kentucky.
Great place. Welcome to the bluegrass. Yep. This question more for Brad, but Carly can chime in as well. What made you want to become a pastor, Brad? What was kind of that journey to pastoral ministry?
Yeah, so kind of on the tail end of that, I mentioned I basically quit everything that I was doing. I moved back home, and I started a new life, a different life, pretty much disassociated from everything that I was doing prior. Not that everyone has to do that. That's just what seemed right for me. And then in doing that, I didn't have a word of the Lord or anything like that. Nobody said anything over me about being a pastor. Just kind of was natural, I guess. From the minute I started following Jesus, I started gathering people around for Bible studies, started a couple of various ministries through volunteer efforts, and just seemed to have a knack for reading, understanding, explaining some of the scriptures alongside of starting mission-oriented things to try to bring people to the family of God, and so it kind of evolved naturally for me.
I asked Carly in the first service if it was ever a dream to marry a pastor, because I heard that's a big dream for a lot of little ladies, right? No? Disney hasn't made that princess movie either, The Princess and the Pastor's Wife. Carly said it wasn't necessarily a dream, but she's right. Glad she's living the dream right now. Follow-up question there for the both of you. What most excites you about the church as well as this church? The Church Universal as well as this local church here in Bellevue. What most excites you both about it?
Okay, so I would say that the idea that we all know that the Lord, after we have accepted him as our Savior, he uses us as individuals, but also as a whole to tell other people about Jesus and to share the good news. And I love that he takes people who mess up all the time, but in his grace, he continues to use us as willing vessels to reach other people and share the good news. And then I would say that about this church, we've only been here for a couple of weeks, obviously, but even last week I saw as we were sitting in small groups and people were sharing and whatnot that this is a group of people who are hungry and who want to grow in the Lord and want to be more like Jesus. And that excites me because it's awesome to be a part of such a great mission.
Yeah. So what excites me about this church and the church? So the church first, man, the story of God, I think, is mind-blowing. And the idea that we're all in here unified around this story where Jesus, from a place called Nazareth, walked around healing people, casting out demons, performing miracles over nature, and then eventually predicts his own death and then his own resurrection. And then not only does he do those two things, then he doesn't die again and he ascends into the heavens and is there now interceding on our behalf. I mean, that's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And what is God doing through the story of Jesus or through the Christ or through the Messiah? He's renewing the whole world to himself. He's restoring creation back to himself. And so we don't have a responsibility to make that renewal or that restoration work happen, but we do have a responsibility to respond to what God is doing and to enter into that story and to spur it along, if you will. And so we all get to be a part of that together as Jesus's body, his church. And so I find that just energizing and fascinating. One of the things that would excite me about this church, we read from 1 Thessalonians earlier. Back in chapter 2 in 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about how when he arrived in Thessalonica, that he shared not only the gospel with them, but he shared, him and his team shared their lives together with the people of Thessalonica as well. And so in a real way, we're being adopted into a family with 200 50, 60, 70 siblings, and there's one adoption happening, so all of you are aware of my name, presumably, already, and we have the task of learning 260 siblings' names as fast as possible. That's a big task, but to share our lives together, to be a part of a family, some of you in here I've known prior to this point, and we've shared our lives together for a few years. You can attest to that. So I'm looking forward to sharing our lives together. We're looking forward to doing that. And then another thing that I'm excited about is a willingness to take risks. I'm kind of weird that I don't take a bunch of foolish risks, but I'm not a risk-averse person either. And so a church community with leadership that's willing to take some risks in an effort to see individuals who, for one reason or another, may never find themselves wandering into a house of worship or into this church building to join us on a Sunday morning in worship of Jesus. They're not opposed to Jesus. They're just not going to find themselves stumbling in here on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. And that's okay. But to go out and to take the message and the story and the love of God to them requires risk. And that's something that has been apparent that the church that you all are somewhat comfortable with, that the leadership is comfortable with taking. So that's one of the things that would excite me.
Well said. Well said. Thank you. Do you guys have a favorite verse or book of the Bible? Something that spoke to you?
One verse that's always stuck out to me is found in Psalm 139. It's at the very tail end of it. And it says, "Search me and know my heart, O Lord. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me down the path of everlasting life." It's one that's just always I've pondered on and thought on often, and that really has helped me think through my relationship with the Lord and for him to point out things that he wants fixed.
Awesome. I'm a Bible nerd. I love the scriptures, and so narrowing it down to one seems highly unfair. So one of, I guess, my favorite verses, if you will, in Proverbs, I can't recall the chapter off the top of my head, but in Proverbs, there's two Proverbs, one right after another. They read like this. First one says, "Do not answer a fool according to their folly, or else you will become like them." Do not answer a fool according to their folly, or else you will be like them. Answer a fool according to their folly, or else they will be wise in their own eyes. And so in two verses of Proverbs, you have conflicting instructions on what to do if you encounter a fool. Do you respond to them and then become like them, or do you not respond so that you're not like them, or do you respond so that they don't think that they're wise, right? It's sort of confounding and tricky. All that said, I think the point of the wisdom riddle, if you will, is that specific scenarios require specific responses, and there's not typically a one-size-fits-all approach, and so that would be the verse I like. As far as books, I would pair Luke and Acts together as like a volume one and volume two. So those would be my two favorite books.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Next faith question. Is there a person that's most influenced you on your faith journey for the positive there?
Again, there's multiple people that have influenced the faith journey throughout my time. But really, I think comes down to the first two, and they kind of worked together. So a gentleman by the name of Judd Ayers and another gentleman by the name of Sean Domer live in Columbus, Ohio. Most of us in this room probably will likely not meet them ever. But they were in a season of my life when I was in Amway, led me to the Lord, if you will, really discipled me early on. So really thankful to their influence, because everything that has come post that point and all the other great influences and different things really have built off the back of what they started by leading me to the Lord and discipling me early on.
And I would say also that I've had a lot of people who have influenced my faith journey growing up in the church, but ultimately when it boils down to a single person, I would say my mama. She has been one that has brought us and led us in the ways of the Lord all our lives. And during horribly difficult times, all the trials, she has remained steady in the Lord. And then also during happy times, she has done the same. So I would definitely say my mama.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Last question in the faith round. Person in the Bible you'd most like to meet besides Jesus?
Okay, I would say probably Peter, because that guy seemed to mess up an awful lot, but he always came back around, and he did a lot of good for the Lord and for the first church, so definitely Peter.
Yeah, again, Bible nerd, there's a lot of different characters. Feels unfair to try to narrow it down to one. And so just, I guess, one that came to mind in the past couple of weeks is Philemon. And the reason I would want to meet Philemon is I would want to know how he responded to Paul's instructions in that short little letter that we have in the New Testament regarding Onesimus, or as I once called him, Onesimus, and then I was made fun of for mispronouncing his name for months at a time. So if you're reading the book of Philemon, now you know to pronounce the name Onesimus and not Onesimus, just as a clarification for everybody.
But we won't make fun of you here, okay?
It was good fun. It was good fun.
Moving into the final round, round three, the family. You'll notice Brad and Carly in one of their Christmas photos are accompanied with three kids. This would be Galilee. This would be Anchor. This would be Ari. Unorthodox names, Galilee, Anchor, Ari. Being a person that loves stories behind names, is there stories behind your three kids' names of Galilee, Anchor, and Ari?
Okay, so they're not like, for me, they weren't like, oh, like moments. But Galilee, me and my sister were pregnant at the exact same time, both with little girls. And I was talking to her on the phone one day, and she had said, you know, I thought I liked the name Galilee, but they chose the name Nora instead. And so I had asked her, I said, hey, do you mind if I would throw that one towards Brad and see if he liked it? And she said, I don't care. I'm not using it. So that's how Galilee got her name. I will tell you, not that you asked, but I will tell you their middle names, because for the boys, their names kind of go with their first names. So Galilee is Galilee Cassandra, and so she is named after my sister who passed away. And then we have Anchor, and once again, my sister brought the name Anchor to us, and Anchor is Anchor Christus, so his name is rooted in Christ, like an anchor roots you in something, so rooted in Christ. And then Ari, I had shared with the first service, actually, I heard the name Ari off of the show The Bachelor when I was like 20, and I thought it was a cute name at the time. So when we found out we were having another boy, I brought that name to Brad, and you know, he liked it. He liked it for other reasons, which he will share. But so his name is Ari Alexander. So his name means Lion of God, Protector of Men. So Brad has a little bit of different thoughts of how he liked the names. But listen, they worked out for how his thinking is and how my thinking is. So he'll share that.
Well, when we started having kids, one of my constant requests was I wanted to name, hopefully, our firstborn boy, Agabus Alpha. Nope. Sounds great. That's about how it went over in the house, too, about how it went over in here. But there's a prophet named Agabus in the book of Acts. If you want to Google him later, you'll see him for about a verse or two. Galilee, reflecting the beauty of Jesus into our world, just like the Sea of Galilee is reflecting the sunlight. That's one of the aspects there. And then Carly mentioned anchor, being anchored or rooted in Christ and holding people steady in the Lord. And then Ari, yes, I was not a fan of the Bachelor concept, but Ari is a transliteration of a Hebrew word that means Lion of God. And so Lion of God, and then Alexander, Protector of Men, which I find highly ironic that Alexander means Protector of Men, because Alexander the Great slaughtered a great many of people. So I just find that ironic that that name means Protector of Men. But yeah, those are the reasons.
Interesting. Speaking of long family lines, do you have a favorite thing to do as a family, your family of five? Some favorite things for the Andrews family to do?
We enjoy playing board games, enjoy going to the community pool here at the rec center, enjoy Soak City. It's forever Soak City in my name, whatever it's called now. Lake Erie Shores, I think, over at Cedar Point, so enjoy the water park. Mentioned board games. We like to watch movies together, you know, just cook out, spending time with friends and family as well, and yeah.
Do you have favorite family traditions? Maybe that's a repeat question as well, but what do you guys like to do traditionally, annually, as an Andrews family?
Annually, it's more like weekly for us. Last night, me and Brad were talking, he's like, what are some of our traditions? And I'm like, well, one that we've been doing for the past, like, 4 or 5 years, And sometimes it's we don't want to do anymore. But the kids love it. We have Donut Day Friday. So every Friday morning, the kids wake me up at 7 o'clock, which is when they're allowed to get out of bed, and ask either me or Brad to go down to Bassett's to get some donuts. So that is our biggest family tradition, and they will not let us stop but because they love their donuts. But other than that, you know, normal, like, family traditions, I don't really, I mean, we do, you know, holiday things, but the biggest tradition is our Donut Day Friday, and anyone's welcome to join us anytime. So
that's why we know they're going to fit in good here, huh? Donut Day Friday, we like it. That is a reminder, too. Fridays will usually be the off day, correct, Brad?
Yeah.
On the weekly rhythm, so.
You can just show up at the house. Just let us know.
So say hello as friends there, but give them some space on Fridays as well for Donut Day festivities. Last question with the family in mind, then we'll toss it to the congregation for any Q&A. What do we need to know about you and your family? Anything we need to know about you, just first steps moving forward together?
Yeah, so we're not perfect. And that's more than a cliche, but something that we do really well and something that we hold very highly to is when we mess up that we do our best to make it right. And so when we make mistakes, when we sin against others, sin against our own family, when we treat each other wrong or whatever, we own up to it, we confess it. And then we don't just say I'm sorry, but we match, if you will, the transgression with a equal or comparable amount of restoration or reconciliation. And so we hold that teaching and ideal of Jesus very high in our families and in our lives. So yeah, not entirely perfect, but we are very, very passionate about trying to restore and repair and keep relationships together and whole.
Well said. We have a saying around here that's not original here, but when we mess up, we fess up. And that's a part of this Christian journey together, leadership and laity alike, of what we do. So good, good. We're going to give a little opportunity, if you've got some questions not asked on that sheet, but that you'd like to lob their way, to do so at this time. And so anything is free game. Like I said, like our transparent and free, open, honest people there. If you have a question that you'd like to know about the new kid on the block, then feel free to ask at this time. They've answered all the questions, huh?
Yeah.
Dottie, please.
Do you sing? And if so, we would welcome you to come and sing in the choir.
It's a recruiting question, huh? Singing and choir question, all summed up in Dottie's there.
I sing in the shower. You do not want me to participate in the choir, I promise, on that.
I do sing. But, you know, I say that's my only talent. So don't ask if I have any more. Possibly, I'll let you know.
The Andruses are musically wired in other ways. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Any other questions from the congregation? From the balcony, Eli. Question about feeding the community and outreach with this church.
That's a great question.
It is.
Can I respond to that, or should you respond to that?
It's a Q&A with you.
Yes, that is part of the portfolio picture for which I was hired to restart that, if you will. So Eli's talking about, we hosted a weekly community dinner. It was free to the community, and we did that for three and a half years before our prior church community closed down. And so with that, amongst other things, that is one of the aspects of the portfolio that we are here to restart. And many things need to happen before we can restart that, so we need to get to know all of you, and all of you hopefully have opportunities to get to know us, and we need to work together to build some ministry teams to be able to restart that ministry and to be able to see it sustainable for the long term and hopefully much longer than a 3-year season. So in addition to that, other ways to engage in mission with the community and in outreach, the other things that we'll be doing, one of the things that will be on my portfolio will be in the fall, assuming leadership over the GLOW program, the GLOW outreach at the Bellevue Elementary School. So that'll be one thing on there as well. But yeah, that's an excellent question. And in short, yes, we intend to reflect some of those, but then also to find what fits this church community, and then to, as a community together, with the strengths that we would have, to engage our wider community with those in mind as well.
Well said. Well said. Time for maybe one to two more questions. Reese, you're going to be involved in the youth group, coming from a youth.
Pastor Justin, am I going to be involved in the youth group?
Pastor Brad is going to be in the life of the church, and so you will see him, but in different areas. Brad's main target area is called Pastor of Community Outreach, not Pastor of Youth or Pastor of Sunday Mornings or Pastor of those things. So the main target is with community outreach in mind. Obviously, we're all connected together in the life of the congregation, so there'll be overlap in all those areas, but not an emphasis in those areas.
Yeah. Yeah, so absolutely. And Risa, I'm going to take that as an open invitation to join the youth on one of the Sunday evenings coming up here. And so would love to be able to do that as well. But yes, probably won't be a regular weekly thing on my behalf. Yep.
You guys at the 10:30 are harder. Like, we got recruitment from choir, recruitment from youth group, all in one service. 9 o'clock did none of this to Brad and Carly there. Interesting. Any last question? Rich, from the back.
Are your sermons an hour?
Don't answer that one, Brad. Don't answer that one. Leave them hanging for the first one, okay?
I will say the back row in the early worship gathering had a 15 to 18 minute mark. So you're starting at an hour. That is four times longer than the first one.
Those sermon trap questions, those are good ones, those are good ones. I want to reiterate some things that Brad and Carly said previously. Jim Shelley announced a month ago when he was announcing Brad was hired by the SPRC and had fielded some questions, church office since then. And so just want to reiterate some of those things to remind ourselves of what we're after with this new staff position created. So Brad's official title is Pastor of Community Outreach. Sociologists for years now have been telling us that we are increasingly a post-church culture. Church is not the norm and experience like it might have been in the 1950s or prior to that. And so increasingly, there's sections that are labeled sociologically as nuns. That's not Catholic nuns. That's no religious affiliation nuns. And so that's increasing in that direction. Churches need to be aware of that, because the message of the church is messages that relate to us whether we're in the church or not in the church, correct? Like, why am I here? Is there a God? Does he care for us? Like all these deep theological questions, philosophical questions, human being existential questions are being asked whether you're in a church or outside of a church. And the church has God's answers for life, that answer book. And so what we need to be doing as a church in a post-church culture is look for ways to be the church that's outside of this church, to answer those questions that our coworkers are asking, that our friends are asking, that our family members are asking, but they won't come with us at a 9 or 10:30 service to hear the answers thereof. So how can the church be outside the walls like the church is always meant to function 2,000 years ago and beyond? And so Brad's title is with that in mind, which has many different offshoots. Could be a community dinner, kind of a church aspect. It's going to start with a little bit of a GLOW outreach, because what we've seen in our church staff and numerically across the board is that there are some tasks that need to be given up in order to lighten the plate, to further the plate of what we all want to do. And so Brad, starting next fall, will be the GLOW coordinator. That's a natural community outreach aspect ministry of the church that's already in function. It happens at the elementary school after school hours, and the reach of the GLOW is meant to. It's a broad envelope, but it's meant to reach the kids of the community that wouldn't come to Wiggly Worship on Sunday morning, but still have a need to learn about God and what God's plans and purposes are for their life. And so starting in the fall, Brad will be the GLOW coordinator. This spring and winter, he's going to get to the rhythms and ropes with GLOW in mind. You're also going to see Brad's face around here on Sunday mornings each and every week. Some of those weeks he'll be preaching.
About every 4 to 6 weeks, he'll be in the preaching rotation of the life of the congregation. You'll see him back at Wiggly Worship, leading Bible time with some of the kids at times, or leading different stations. You may see him up front with the worship team or musically related things, because Brad and Carly are both musically related. So you're going to see him in the life of the congregation in year number one particularly. It's important for Brad to get to know you and you to know him. That's what we're after this first year, and first year particularly. And so take those opportunities on the other side of the brick wall to sign up to meet Brad, get to know him at a more personal level, or come to some of those icebreaker opportunities to get to know him and his family. That's important for year one and beyond that. I want to give one more thing with the creation of this new staff position before we pray for Brad and Carly. One of the meaningful ways that we pray together as a church family, particularly with our graduates, is we have them go center aisle and we just huddle around them. Yes, church got more awkward once again. You thought this was awkward. You thought the Bulls theme was awkward. We're going to go with a closing prayer around them in a team huddle in just a moment. Before I do so, earmuff it, Brad and Carly, because this is not on them. This is something to share that we just need to be aware of as a church family financially. We've been talking for years. As many as 7 years denominationally with denominational leaders, and 2 to 3 years with the Ad Council and the SPRC about the need to hire additional staff. We kept saying it's got to be the right person at the right time. And some of the thing that kept holding us back was the financial piece. You have to have, if you're putting on a full-time pastor on the staff, you have to have full-time wages with that in mind. And so where we feel comfortable, The finance committee of this church, and crunching the numbers and everything, we feel on most given years, we are around 30,000 to the plus in church life together. We needed for a full-time staff position to be upwards to the 45 region. 45 was the high end of what we were going, with some additional money for like mileage or other professional reimbursements. And so we were needing to be around the 47.5 category. We feel comfortable with 30. We needed to be up 47.5 category. And so what we said in that is it's going to be a step, and a step that we just want to be aware of as a church family. Nancy Hannon did some number crunching a while back at the last Ad Council, and if our giving units could increase giving by $10 to $20 a month, not a week, but if there's a $10 to $20 step that we could do a month, we would alleviate that about $20,000 extra dollars that we needed to take this step as a family. So not asking for huge steps, but asking for little steps if possible. It's not possible for everyone. Maybe it's more than possible for certain others. And so just to be aware of that as a church family. There's other plans in place too, but just that to say it, it's going to be a step for us. And that $45,000 salary that we're giving for pastor of community outreach, that doesn't include health care or retirement. Like, Brad's not trying to rob the church. And this church isn't just trying to rob money here. We believe that all we have is genuinely God's. And we want to serve with what God is up to in this church and in this community. And we think this is part of that step. And having a full-time pastor on staff for reaching this community outside these church walls with the message and the love of God. And so that's why we're taking this step as a church, not always knowing where what the footprints look like in that journey along. But does that make sense, church? No, this is not a church after your wallets here, but it is after asking the questions and wanting to see what's God doing that's bigger than Bellevue. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We believe that message, and we want to get that message out, because plenty of people need to meet God's son, Jesus, who loves them, went to the cross for them, gave his life to save their life. Amen? So let's not forget that in this journey together. Ready for one last step of awkward? Ready or not, here we go. Brad and Carly, if we can go to the center aisle, and if we can just have a team huddle around them. Team huddle where we simply just reach out, put a hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, and we're going to pray over these two individuals. The early church, prayer mattered. It matters to us as well, and what we believe God to do in this community. So huddle around Brad and Carly. Get to know them. They're here for the next couple decades. Let's let this first step together to be a prayerful step. And so we're going to pray conversationally too. I'm going to start us in a little word of prayer, but if you have a sentence or a word or phrase that you just want to pray over this couple and this family and this church, you're invited to pray out loud together with that as well. Let's take a moment to pray with them leading into the time around the Lord's table.